What a good opening question. Is it worth it? Is the Jesus life worth what Jesus asks? Everything comes at a cost, whether you believe that or not. No matter what life choice you choose to make, whatever you choose to live to whatever what end or purpose or meaning, all comes at a cost. If you choose to do nothing with your life, that comes at a cost. If you choose to chase success, that comes at a cost. If you choose to be a master of your craft, those things all come at a cost. And Jesus knew that. Living for him would come at a cost, so he made sure that was clear. But the question she asked really is the key one. Is it worth it? What is worth your life? What is worth your all? What's worth your everything? And I got to agree with this girl. This is Becca. She's serving as a missionary with the Christian Missionary Alliance in North Africa. And I'm with her that living for Jesus is truly all that it is to be. But it ain't the easiest thing. And I think it's really an incredible story that summarizes this as well as the cost and the beauty of what comes from what you get. Is the story of John Dober and David Nitschman. They both felt a call from God. And when they gave their life to Jesus, they felt a call to go and do missions. But where they were going to go do missions was in the North Indies. Or the West Indies, not the North Indies. They were going to the West Indies, and there's this island specifically that they felt called to go to. But the problem with this island, it had 3,000 slaves on this island. Problem was the landowner of the island hated Christians. No Christian was allowed to step foot on this island. But they felt a call from God to go to this island, but they wouldn't let any Christian on. So they have a choice. Give up the call that they felt the Lord was telling them to do and just go somewhere else. Be a missionary somewhere else. That makes logical, right? But that's not what the Lord was leading them to. But because now they were being put in a position where it was going to cost everything. Their freedom, their life dreams. Because the only option if they were to follow this call would be to sell themselves into slavery. They prayed about it. They hugged their families goodbye. And they headed off to this island where they went and brought the gospel message to these 3,000 slaves because Jesus told them to. Now, I bet you if you were to have a conversation when you get to heaven now with David and John, it'll be laughing. They'll laugh about it now, that it was worth what was being asked of them. And you know what was crazy was their testimony of their life led to over 1,000 other people following in suit and becoming missionaries. And they didn't have Instagram, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have social media. So 1,000 people heard their sacrifice for the gospel message and they said it was worth it and others followed in suit. Apostle Paul is a great example of someone who we can look at for seeing, is the cost of living for Jesus really worth it? In fact, look at any of the disciples. Look at Apostle Paul. The cost of following Jesus for all of them literally was their life. Not only how they spent their time and what they did, but literally they died other than John. Life. But here's what Apostle Paul says when it came to really thinking about the idea of the cost of being a follower of Jesus. Here's what he had to say. This is Philippians 3, 7 through 9. He says, but whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. The cost is worth it if you know what you're getting. I buy stuff from AliExpress, and if you've never been on that website, it's a cheap website. Every now and then, I like to brag about how little I spent, and every now and then, I receive the consequences of spending such little money on things, such as this watch. This watch tells time backwards. That's very hard for a dyslexic to begin with. So if you're wondering why I go long, it's because I can't read my watch. You think I'm joking. It's literally backwards. But you get what you pay for, and what, this is what I promise you. Whatever you choose to give to Jesus, he will pay tenfold. If you knew, if you were to do an investment into something, and you knew the investment would be good for eternity, wouldn't you go, obviously, that's what Jesus promises. Question, do you believe it? If we believe it, our lives will begin to reflect it more and more. There was a cost to following Jesus. He makes that clear. There was a cost to the call of Jesus. He makes that clear. But the call is worth the cost. And I really see three areas where we're going to dive in today and look at three areas where you'll feel the cost. And there's more. There's more areas than just this. But these are the three I want to focus on. And it's our will. It's our comfort and our dreams. And it's our lives. These are three things I know it will cost to follow Jesus. But it's worth it. And the why matters. The why matters. That's the biggest difference maker in my mind to why you can see the cost to be worth it. If you can see to the end, if you can see beyond just the now, you can see that it's completely worth it. But what I would tell you is this, that there are moments of glory that you get to experience in walking with Jesus today. It isn't just this eternal thing you get to experience. There's things that my wife and I have got to see because we have chosen to say yes to Jesus. There's testimonies I got to witness from my family, from my parents, because they chose to say yes to Jesus. And there's stories I can't deny. And there are things that are eternal that I'll never get to. That there'll be things that stand forever. Not like things of this world that will fade. But this is what Jesus will do. This is Tim Keller. He says, Jesus says, I want you to follow me so fully, so intensely, so enduringly that all other attachments in your life will look weak by comparison. That's what he's after. How much is Jesus after? He's after all of it. If you were to ask Jesus how much of me you want, he goes, all of you. And I don't want you to feel discouraged if you look at your life and you're going, I'm giving Jesus this much. Jesus ain't shocked by anything that you have to say to him. He knows it all. But every day, if you're willing to ask that question, how much do you want from me, Jesus? And he'll say, just a little bit more. Until you're done. And I guarantee you, if you choose to do that, the investment will be worth it. And the first thing I see is your will. And that's really the question of salvation in so many ways. Because whose will I obey, right? Who makes the decisions of my life? Who makes the choice of what I do? Am I going to live my way or am I going to live the Christ way? Right? That's the question that Jesus asks us. Who are you going to listen to? Who will be the master of your heart? Almost think of it as a puppet. You know, am I a man who controls what I do? Am I the master of what my hands do? Or do I say, Jesus, you go ahead and take me where you want me to go? And I got to tell you, that feels a whole lot more, feels a whole lot less comfortable. Paul says this, for whose sake I have lost all things. Meaning, he knows that he's given up a whole lot to live for Jesus. He knows what he's laying down. Do you know what Jesus is actually asking of you? That's sometimes a shocker to people. I didn't realize Jesus was literally asking me to live a whole life to him. I thought it was just this like fire insurance thing, you know, where I get to not go to hell. You know, I thought Jesus says, I have this life I have for you, a call to be a witness to the world, a holiness that I'm calling you to live like and to become. And some of it looks like this. It looks like to take a stand over and over again. I find as a preacher and working with youth, one of the things that is a blessing is I get to speak. I get to communicate the gospel to people. I get to stand before many and proclaim the gospel. But the hard part about doing that is sometimes I'll have like a youth and it just, there's no change. No change, no change, no change, no change. But that's not the, do I then quit? Do I quit because that kid ain't changing? But that's not the call you see from Jesus. The call is to get up over and over and over again and keep doing whatever Jesus is calling me to do, no matter the cost. If it's the call of Christ, it's always worth the cost. And you see that with Paul. Paul did not have an easy life. We're going to read in a minute some of the stuff he went through. But what you see from him is he stands over and over again. Why? Because his will was not his own. He said, Jesus, what would you have me do? He says, all other things are lost, but to live for Christ, that's worth it. Our time, within our will, I think of our time. So many times I feel we say, we don't have time. You know, I don't have time to serve Jesus more. I don't have time to go do that thing. I can't do it. But really, in my heart, we seem to have time for the things that are matter within our heart. And that's just a valuable question for you and Jesus to ask. God, what am I making the most important or most valuable thing within me? And then I would say, you don't have to actually ask so much. I would just say, pull out a spreadsheet and write out your week. It'll do it for you in many ways. Look around your house. What are the things that you have within your house that matter the most? Those are things. Because Jesus wants to capture that. And when he does, it begins to shift your life. But if you don't know the why, it's really hard to give up the time. And if the heart's not there, you definitely don't want to give up the time. So, we have a missions trip coming up. Yes, I am taking this opportunity to tell you about a missions trip. We're in this on July 22nd to 29th, I am taking a group to the Dominican Republic. And you say, time. I'm saying this is going to be a great use of your time. We're going to be doing VBSs and work projects in the Dominican Republic. And if you want to see what God is doing on the globe, maybe you want to get a little bit more invested. Maybe this is a little step for you. Yes, there's a financial cost, but we could fundraise for that. But if that's something that intrigues you or you feel your heart jump out, you know, I'd say don't let that slip. Talk to me. And think fast, because we're having a meeting this March 15th, this Wednesday here at the church, 7:15. So if you're interested, show up here. I'd love to see you. This isn't just a youth thing. This is an all people thing. All right? So if you're feeling compelled, talk to me. Love to have you come. I need all the help I can get. Thank you, Teresa Clark, for signing up to be my admin. So this is going to be a much better missions trip now, guys. So thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ. So that's the first one we see, is our will. And then out of our will, the next thing I see that follows is our comfort. I'm probably not going to want to be uncomfortable if my will's not surrendered to Jesus, because it's a not always enjoyable place the Lord puts us in the growth process. If you've ever worked out, you know, you have a moment in pushing yourself beyond where you've been, and it's usually uncomfortable. Paul says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now, here's what he's not saying. He's not saying the great things of your life are garbage. It's the comparison. That's like what Tim Keller was saying. It's in comparison to Jesus. Everything else seems less important, because what he sees, the value that comes from Jesus. Here's the comfort that Paul did not experience, right? And his life goal to live for Jesus, this is what he went through. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is literally the craziest list of stuff. And I don't think he's writing this to have a pity party for himself. This is what he says. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have constantly been on the move. I've been in danger of rivers, in danger of bandits, in danger of fellow Jews, in danger of Gentiles. Like, this is a crazy list of things. In danger of cities, and in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger of other from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and I've known thirst, and I've often gone without food, and I've been cold and naked. That is an insane list. And listen to this, though. But this is what's on his mind. That's his list of stuff, not to make you feel bad for him. Right? Then he goes on to say, what's his concern in his heart? He goes to say, besides everything else, I face daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. I think he writes that list because he's wanting everybody to know that the Christian life ain't about being comfortable. And I don't think he's looking for a pity party, but going, there's going to be stuff that's going to come your way in following Jesus, and it's going to be tough, but the cost is worth it. Do you know what I think? He's not looking for a pity party, and I bet if you were to talk to Paul after all this stuff he went through, if you were to talk to him and say, if you could relive your life, would you do it again? Do you know what I think he'd say? I think he would say, I wish I found Jesus sooner. I think he'd say, I wish I found Jesus sooner. Not, I wish I suffered a little bit less. Because he knows that the cost of gaining Christ is worth it all. But it comes back to that opening question, do I actually believe that? Do I actually believe that it's going to pay out what Jesus is saying it's going to pay out? Comfort's often only comfort for a moment. Often if you choose to have a full lazy day of watching Netflix, you never walk out of that comfy day going, wow, what a great day. If you've had that, that hasn't been my experience yet. You're doing better than me in that. But Jesus leads us to not a life of comfort and safety, but to a life of risk. And I messaged some of my friends, the Webbers, who are missionaries over in Bali, and I said, is there a cost to missions? And honestly, the response was more of a praise note than than talking so much about the cost. This is what she writes back to me. She says, there's certainly cost. I think for me, the hardest part was changing in relationship of my kids with their grandparents and feeling guilty for taking them away from their grandparents. And then this is what she writes next. Actually, my kids have gained so much because of being overseas. When Alex had to go back to Canada, he actually lived with his grandparents and so had such a special time with his grandparents. For me, the call is so exciting, and I really didn't feel like I was giving up anything except that. More now, as the kids get older and can't go to university down across town. But there was no place I'd rather be than where God has called us to be, and I pray he never leaves me out of Bali. This is what God made me for. He grew me up in the Canadian prairies to prepare me for a tropical island for his glory. Me too, Jesus. Come on. How big is our God? How worthy of all praise. And to that end, I tell the Balinese about Jesus so that they can live in his glorious power also. I wrote her asking for the cost. Not a glory story, but that's all she could come up with. Sometimes I feel in that moment of the will when we choose to surrender to Christ, it's in that moment that we feel the pain of saying, okay, Jesus. And sometimes that's a daily thing that we feel for quite some time. But it's over time that I think that those things fade into the background because Christ becomes more. You think about the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Maybe some of you young people don't know it because you only listen to first singles hits and stuff like that. But Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Things of this world will grow strangely dim when we say yes to Jesus and no to those things. That's my prayer. I want things to become strangely dim because of how much greater what Jesus offers us is. But we can't let the comfort of our world get in the way, nor safety. Sometimes I feel we don't do certain things because of the risk it might hold for, say, our kids. You know, we don't even consider missions because of the potential threat. These families take their kids to some of the least reached places, often meaning Canada only sends them to the places with 1% Christianity, meaning it's often places that aren't very welcoming to the gospel. So they know where they're taking their kids. And that's a risk. It's a risk. But I think the risk is worth it. I think about a roller coaster. This is only a partial working analogy because some people say they got off a roller coaster and said, never again. But I think every time you take a little kid on a roller coaster for the first time, there's this like bit of fear going on to get on. You're like, come on, come on, come on. You're like trying to push them beyond where they're comfortable, and there's a little bit of angst. But then they get on the roller coaster, they go around, they get the G-forces right up in them, and they get off, and they usually say, again. I want that to be my life with Jesus, living with risk. And then getting off the crazy thing Jesus is asking me to do and saying, Jesus, let's do it again. But you only get to experience that if you choose to hop out of the comfort zone of where you're at today, because Jesus is going to lead us to places where we potentially don't want to go. But he will be sufficient in taking you there. And the risk is worth it. When I think about, even in my own life, some of the things that aren't comfortable, I think about some of the youth I go and sit with. You know, I think probably people would feel I'm a good youth pastor if I didn't go and I chill up at Timber on the incline side. I think people would still think I'm a good youth pastor. They wouldn't think any less of me. But here's what I would tell you about doing that. There's many times I feel highly uncomfortable sitting there between the mockery and the rude and the crude jokes that come out of these kids' mouths. And the words that they have to say about Jesus is uncomfortable. But do I want to stop going there due to that? Because where would Jesus be found? That's the question I ask. It doesn't matter as much of what someone else thinks of me, but what does Jesus think? And what is he calling me to? So I go to Timber and I hang out with them. And I'm going to love on them regardless of what they choose to say about Jesus, no matter what. But there's something I've got to see too, because I've done that. I've got to see kids come from homes who don't have parents who bring them to church, who know nothing about Jesus, and see them raise their hand and say yes to Jesus. I would never have gotten to see that if I chose to live in my own comfortability. I won't get to celebrate with that kid someday in heaven if I didn't choose to be uncomfortable. And that's what God invites us all to step up, because he has more. And I promise you, the cost is worth what he's offering. Way more. Because one of the questions is, what's the alternative? If I don't live for Jesus, what am I going to live for? And then when I get to eternity, I'm going to have to live with that forever. And I'd rather not. I'd rather deal with that now. Right? Jesus looks at today as a new day to learn, as a new day to surrender, as a new day to step forward. But the comfortability is hard sometimes. And I have a call, and it's worth the cost. The next I see is our lives, and this is the biggest one. Our life. What will you choose to let be your life legacy? We named our littlest girl Lyndon Legacy. We come from a family of a legacy of people who honor the Lord, but we want her life to be a legacy. If someone were to look at your life, if you were to pass away, what would be the legacy said? If they were just to look at the pieces. Our lives is what Jesus is saying it's going to cost to follow him. I consider everything lost. Paul was beaten. He was stoned. I mean, I don't even know how many times in 1 Corinthians there it said he was in danger. He was in danger. And yet you read here when he's writing to the Philippians while he's in prison, he's saying, I count everything lost for the sake of what Jesus has given me now, and he's going to give me for eternity. The life he chose to live came at a massive price. And Jesus knows what he's saying when he says, it's going to cost you a lot. But here's the example I can never get out of my mind. I feel the Lord gave this to me when I was a kid. When I gave my life to Jesus and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I felt the love of Jesus, and then I felt my heart break for those who didn't know him. But here's the example that just always sits with me. And it's a picture of a parent and their kid standing on a road. And if your kid was on the road and you saw a bus coming, not one of us would question whatever it cost to save them. You would never wonder if it was worth it. Even if you died in the process of trying to save them, you wouldn't go, oh, shucks. You know, like you wouldn't be able to live with it. Because you knew what's at stake. In fact, if you chose to do nothing, that's what you would probably not be able to live with. Even if everything went south and you had just tried. And when I think about the gospel message of what Jesus is fighting for, it's for his kids, for those who are far from him. He saved no expense because he saw what was at risk. And Jesus said, I don't want nobody separated from me. That's what Jesus is after. There's this guy named Penn Jillette, also known as Penn and Teller. He's a magician, and he's an atheist. And he said the Christians who he doesn't have much respect for, he says, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's an afterlife. He says, but you Christians do. And he says, so the Christians I really struggle with are the ones who don't go around telling people about Jesus. And here's my problem. He says, you believe there's an eternity. And you believe that there's only one way to get there, and it's through Jesus. And you don't tell people? He couldn't grasp his mind around it. I don't know what it is for each of us where that question sinks in. But sometimes that's one of the parts, if we go back to our comfort and our will and my life. It's a shift in all three of those areas. Because my life, sometimes that hardest bit is opening your mouth to proclaim the words of hope to someone who don't know Jesus. That's a starting point. Or maybe it's this, that we don't know. We don't know what's at stake. Do we not know that Jesus said there's only one way? Do we maybe not know that we've been called? And what I would just tell you, man, open up the Bible and hear the plea. Hear the plea of Jesus. And here's William Booth, the guy who founded Salvation Army. This is what he says, and I think it's so profound when it talks about the call and the cost of being a Christian. It says, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think we should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand at the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you. Go tell their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you profess to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart, soul, body, circumstance in the march to the publish his mercy to the world. It's a profound line. It's a profound line of the heart of Jesus. Why do we do it? Why do it? What's the alternative? And as Paul writes it, he says that I might gain Christ. Whatever you choose to lay down for Jesus, you will gain more of Jesus. If you just lay it down, say, Jesus, let my life be yours. Watch what he does. Let it be like the ride of the roller coaster where you get to get off, and no matter what happened on the roller coaster, you get to go, let's do it again. Let's do it again, Jesus, as long as I gain more of you. As long as I get more of you, Jesus, I'm willing to go further than I am today. As long as you promise me you. And Jesus looks you dead in the face and says, deal. Deal. I'll give you more of me. I'll give you more of me. You'll get to see things that you would never get to see. You get to live for the greatest cause. You get to be on the greatest adventure and trip you could have ever had. You know, we get to be invited to be like Mr. Dober or Mr. Nitschman, who say, I will live for Christ, even if it literally means being a slave in this world, because I'm a slave to Christ first. Because now, if we were to talk to Apostle Paul, or talk to David and John Nitschman, not one of them would say it was a mistake or a waste, but rather they're laughing. They're laughing. And I like that question. If they were to come back today, if they could come back down and relive their life again, I think it'd be an awesome question to say, would you change it? And I think the answer would be, I wish I said yes to Jesus more sooner. And I want that to be the truth of us. The cost is worth it if you know what you're getting. Do you know what you get when you say yes to Jesus? You get the greatest adventure that this world has ever seen, and an eternal one. The final challenge would be this. Where is your faith? Where's your faith? Do you truly believe it? Do you truly believe that Jesus will give you a greater life than the one you choose to live today? I think he will. I think he will. The cost is worth the cost. Did I say that right? The call is worth the cost? You get what I'm saying. The cost is worth it if you know what you're getting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for each one who's here. Lord, I thank you that what you promise us in return is a guarantee that you're going to give us more. And you're going to meet us. And you offer us the greatest life. Lord, I pray that you would lift the blinders if we don't see that as the reality. Maybe it's our will in the way. Maybe there's a comfort in the way. Maybe there's a fear in the way. Lord, if there's something I'm struggling to lay down, Lord, I pray you would highlight it that I might begin that process. Thank you for your mercy in that. Lord, is there someone you're calling me to go to? Is there a life discipline you're asking me to step up in? Or maybe is there a mission you're calling me to go to? A mission field? Maybe school, maybe another country, maybe my workplace. But would you highlight it, Lord? Jesus, I thank you for each one here, and I just pray that they would feel the blessing of you over them. And not condemnation, Lord, or shame or anything other than the face of Jesus, your face looking at us, saying, I've got more for you. I've got more. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.